The definition of fandom is the state or condition of being a fan of someone or something. There are a lot of fandoms out there. This is the place where they all come together. This is the Culture Clash.
Welcome, everybody, to this Culture Clash Spotlight. About a month and a half ago now, Kevin and I had the fortunate opportunity to attend the Highlander 30th Anniversary Convention. And while it was the main focus of that was Highlander, we walked away with something very special. Kevin, we got to sit down with Dee Wallace from Star of E.T., was in Cujo, Critters, many other B film, kind of horror films. She is a legend in fandom, and we were lucky enough that she came down and sat with us for a good half an hour and gave us an absolutely amazing interview.
Yeah, she was very, very sweet. We were very fortunate to have her come by our booth, our Bloody Kings booth, and just sit down for a wonderful interview. She was very sweet. And, you know, she's a legend. Obviously, probably her biggest role, everyone remember her, is the mom, Mary, on E.T. But she, when it comes to, I guess, the horror genre, she is a legend, like you said. Of course, Cujo, The Howling, Critters. But she is a working actress. She is not retired. She is always working. She's working on current shows right now. She's done a lot of guest spots as well. She was on General Hospital, but she has a huge resume of the horror genre. And what's really cool is that she's really proud of that, and she loves to work. And she also gets into talking about what she's working on now personally. And her interview was very enlightening, very revealing, and it was just really nice to get to know her as a person, and very, very sweet-hearted person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things she's been currently working on is she is a big believer in faith healing and
just yes.
positivity. And she does have a radio show that she does on Sundays about this, and we get into that somewhat in this interview too. And, you know, Kevin, and that's one of the things that I love about what we do here at the Fandom Podcast Network is we allow people to talk about what they are working on now. Even if it's not necessarily related to the fandom we might be talking about, it's always so interesting to hear what these actors or people like Efrain McGash and all of these people, just what they're working on now and what they're doing, and knowing what they are, the kind of person they are outside of the world of acting and the world of fandom.
Yeah, exactly. She's one of the most positive people I've ever met. And I just want to say, too, that after we were wrapping up our interview, she paid us a wonderful compliment and said that we were both very professional. And you know, it was almost like we had spent a week preparing an interview, and we just kind of did it on the fly, and it went over really, really well. And she was very she's very impressed by us, and I thought that was very nice of her to say that. She did not have to say that.
No, I especially took that as a huge compliment because, like she said, we did that interview cold. We weren't sure if we would get it or not, and we did, and we kind of just did it cold. And, you know, something that made me feel proud that we were able to execute such a great interview with that, and to get a compliment from someone like her afterwards, just it reinforced to me everything we're doing right here with the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, it's nice that when we can come across an opportunity to speak with someone like Dee Wallace, the legend that she is. And I'm honored to be part of the Fandom Podcast Network and to be able to interview her with you, Kyle. We are very happy to share that with our listeners and fans of the Fandom Podcast Network.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to go into this special Culture Clash Spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen, Dee Wallace.
Okay, it's Kyle and Kevin here at LashCon, Highlander 30th, and we've got a very special guest with us. Kevin, would you care to...
Yes, we got Miss T. Wallace. How are you? Welcome.
I'm so good, Kevin. How are you?
It is so good to have you here. Thank you.
It's good to be here.
So how's the con treating you well so far?
Oh, yeah. It's great fun. Really nice people putting it on. I hope it goes well for them.
Yeah.
But, my outlook is... You're the only one that can make your day good, so no matter what the world throws at me, I try to do that.
That's very positive and a good lesson to teach people.
Yeah, so, that's really good for your body, too. Your body doesn't like it when you get pissed off.
This is true.
Now, a lot of people, listeners might know Dee from E.T. Right. or Cujo, but you were here a little earlier. Tell us, you have a radio show on Sunday mornings, correct?
I do. I have a whole healing practice.
Okay.
I'm a clairaudient channel. And I teach people how to direct their energy to get the lives they want. I could really give you guys some help. And I have a show on every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Gotcha. How long have you been doing it?
Oh, my gosh, years.
Wow.
Years now. I have quite a following. I do private sessions also all over the world every day.
Now, how long have you been practicing that?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously, we'll touch briefly on what you've done in the past. What else are you working on currently?
I have a lovely show for Amazon Prime called Just Add Magic. It's a beautiful family show. And I have 3 films coming out.
Wow.
All horror films.
Tell us about them.
Family shows, horror films, both 2 sides of Dee Wallace. One is called Death House, which if you're in the horror genre, you've heard about it. There's so many horror icons in this movie.
Right.
And I play a female Hitler, which was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Wow.
Well, not a female Hitler, but that kind of a character in the female body.
Right.
And one is called Red Christmas, which is a Christmas horror film, which is just an awesome ride.
Wow.
We did it in Australia, and I had such an amazing time. And the third one is called Ayla, A-Y-L-A, and it's a supernatural thriller.
Wow. That's fantastic. Now, I have to ask a question about E.T. My daughter loves E.T. She's been wanting to watch it again. I remember the first time she saw E.T., she's like, oh, he's gross. But then as she started seeing E.T. Evolve and become funny and scared, she thought E.T. was the cutest thing ever. What was your first impression when you saw what E.T. was going to be like and look like?
Well, I saw him standing still on the set the first day I walked in. We didn't get to see him before the first day on the set, and I remember looking at him going, oh my God, he's amazing. I could see the life in his eyes, the realness in him, and then of course, you know, when they started working him with the hydraulics and everything, it was like working with another character for me.
So is that realistic? That's great.
Yeah, it was, and they kept him alive all the time, you know, because Drew was only 4, and she didn't, at that age, kids can't really differentiate between reality and fantasy.
The one thing that I told my daughter, too, about watching that film afterwards was the film in the whole beginning is taken from the kid's point of view, because the only adult face that they see is you.
That was intentional from Steven.
Yeah,
and I actually was hired because Steven thought I was so childlike.
Wow.
Which is true. I have this innate childlike vulnerability. Blake Edwards said when I did 10, he said, you know, Dee, I could line 9 little old ladies up and let you kill them in cold blood, and everybody would say, oh, it was something her mother did to her when she was little.
One thing I've always been kind of curious about, too, is you've done so many horror films. What is the appeal of that genre for you? I mean, to do that?
Oh, because it's a ride, guys. It's a great... I like doing a lot of emotional challenges. I love to play arcs, like in The Frighteners, where I start off being this simpy kind of victim and end up being this badass murderer, right? you just get to explore all different sides of you. And although I love to do comedy, if I had a career of doing light comedies, I think I would be bored senseless. It just rocks my boat, you know, to do all that Scream Queen stuff.
Has there been...
Turns me on, boys.
that's great.
Let me ask you, what do you like to watch at home? Like, do you have Netflix?
Not which, horror films.
Just non-film. what are some of your other favorite films? What do you like? What do you like?
Oh, I like films that make me think, like Miss Sloan. Have you seen Miss Sloan yet?
No.
It's out right now. It's brilliant.
Okay, that's the one with Jessica Chastain.
She's brilliant. The writing is brilliant. The direction is brilliant. I love films like La La Land. I like a lot of the older classics. I like scripts that make me feel and think and have some emotional content.
Right, E.T.
is a perfect film.
Exactly, it is. Yeah. It runs all the emotions.
The perfect. Yes, but it does it while it opens your heart and while it reaches something very deep in you that you know is the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
What kind of advice do you give to younger actors? Or you know,
be yourself.
Yeah.
Most, you know, I had one of the largest acting studios for 18 years in L.A. And everybody would come in wanting to know, what do they want? What do they want me to be? And my mentor, Charles Conrad, had us all, when we studied with him, read a book called Changing by Lee Volman. When she first came over from Sweden. And they said, well, you have to change this, you have to change this, you have to change that, you have to change that. She said, you know, if I do, I won't be Liv Ullmann. And that's what you wanted in the first place. And when I went to Hollywood, you know, you got to dye your hair, you have to have your breasts done. I had a very big manager say, well, I'll take you on if you'll have your breast done. And I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to get those kind of parts anyway. I'm an actress, you know? And so I think I'm just going to be me and bring me into every part that I have. If I need bigger tits, I can always pad the bra. When I did Jimmy the Kid, I'm telling you, we had so much padding in my bra, I took it off, I fell to the floor.
Oh, how funny.
But,
wow.
You know, unless you have to do nudity, which I was never going to do anyway. I have done some nudity, but not in the way you think of nudity, you know. I had a whole back shot in 10. But I just knew I wasn't ever going to, didn't really have an intention, and that who I was didn't lend myself to those
roles. It's nice that you knew that then, and you didn't have, you know.
Well, yes, I also saw visions of my grandmother having a heart attack. you know, my grandmother, when we did The Howling, you know, Chris played my husband in it, and he has this big love scene with a she-wolf. And all my family schlepped to New York for this big premiere of The Howling. And my grandmother, who was then in her late 70s, schlepped to New York with everybody else. And we're sitting there and the whole place is packed, total silence. And Chris's scene with the she-wolf comes on. And about 2 minutes into it, and it's dead silence, my grandmother yells at the top of her lungs, "Christopher Stone, shame on you!" And I thought my producer was just going to shut. But the whole place did exactly what you did.
Oh, that's funny.
We lost.
And
Chris, of course, Chris was so sure in himself that he thought it was great fun, but I thought, oh my God, my mother, both my grandmothers and everybody else, if I took off my clothes and got in bed with Tubby Moore, even as PC as it was, everybody that interviewed me from Kansas asked me what it felt like to play a hooker. And I went, excuse me? Well, you weren't married to Dudley Moore and you got in bed with him. And I went, and okay. I don't know where we're going to go with this conversation from here.
Well, I want to ask you, because, and this ties into something we did. We have a show on our network that we do called the Phantom Flashback. And we take certain movies or TV shows and kind of do multi-episodes. Well, in part for this convention with the Highlander 30th anniversary, we did the movies of 1986. And there was a movie you were in 1986 that definitely made our list, and that was Critters.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I have got to ask you, because those puppets were just so, such a weird-looking special effect. What was that?
Well, there
movie
were
like?
Only really two puppets that I remember that were really made, right? The rest of them were these cheap little hairballs. And the guys would stand off the side of the set and they go, okay, roll them in. Then, you know, we'd be in this hysterical, dramatic scene and they'd be rolling these hairballs.
It's so funny.
Through the, oh, that's a great shot. I just saw a bear almost eating a fish in these slides that are going by. The two that were built were quite awesome,
yeah,
and quite awesomely made. They were cute, but they were ferocious,
yeah,
you know? And that sums up the movie. We had all these really very dramatic scenes, and yet we had our tongue in our cheek half the time. It was a crazy mixture of stuff.
You know, we're here because it's the Highlander 30th anniversary, and as he mentioned, Critters is 30 years old. Does it feel like it?
I feel 30 years old. Okay. That was a good comeback. You know, when I look back at everything I've done, it feels a very long time ago and yesterday at the same time. You know, some things I remember so vividly, and then people will ask me, come to the table, and I go, I don't remember that scene, you know, or could you sign your character, and could you look it up for me and tell me who I was? You know, I've done 160-some films now.
Wow.
Wow.
And some of them are memorable, and others you just pray you forget,
right.
You know? And I had this one guy write this article on me, and it was a very unkind article about all the crap. Why has Dee Wallace in her career done some of this crap that she's done? And I said, you know why? Because we're people too. And I did those three pictures because my grandma raised me. And there came a time in her life where she either had to go into a home or she had to have somebody live in with her. And I was the only one in the family that could create that for her.
Mm.
So you bet I did those three shitty films.
I bet she appreciated
you bet
that.
I did.
Absolutely.
And proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing
that's you what bet. We're it's so nice to hear that.
Well, we're you know, we're people and we struggle.
Yeah.
Just like everybody. And any actor will tell you there's good stretches and then there are really bad stretches.
Right.
I wouldn't have created my acting studio if I hadn't needed the money, as fate usually has it. It was one of the most inspiring things I've ever done in my life.
That's great.
It's where all my healing work was created. And it was just, when people ask me to sum up that time of my life in my studio, I go, it was Camelot.
I have to imagine you had a lot of grateful students.
And I have a lot of students that went into the healing arts because of all the channeling. I mean, it was crazy, guys. It was crazy. I would have an auditor come in and like six lines into the scene and go, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on with the sex thing in your life? Why do you keep pulling away? And it's hurting a lot of your relationships. Why are you so afraid of? And the guy looked at me and just burst into tears and said, oh my God, I don't believe you're asking me this. It's ended I've been engaged four times and it's ended four engagements. Mm. And I said, well, let's get to what it is. And it was bam, 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 bam. And it was like 3 years old and he witnessed something between his mom and his dad. And he went back into that scene and killed that scene.
Wow.
And never came into class. And he wrote me 2 years later, and he said, I just want you to know, because of what happened that day in class, I'm happily married, have a baby on the way, but it freaked me out so much, Ms. Wallace, I couldn't come back to class.
Wow.
You know?
But still in that instance, because you helped that person, that's got to make you feel just wonderful.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. The last Q&A I had at the last convention, somebody knew about my healing work, and, you know, that's very unusual to get into all this stuff at a horror convention, right? And we started talking about it and talking about self-love and how important it is to love yourself and always bring yourself back to love. And a woman raised her hand and said, I just lost both my parents 3 or 4 weeks ago. How do you move back into love? And all I could see were teddy bears all around me. And I said, why? My channel's showing me teddy bears. And she looked at me and burst into tears again. And she said, my mom designed and sewed teddy bears all her life. I said, well, she's trying to tell you she's still doing that on the other side. She's happy. And could you get on with your life, please? You know, and she came by the table and she said, I'm just free. I'm just free with that information. So there's great stuff all over my website that's free.
Yeah, tell listeners where they can find you, please.
I am Dee Wallace, WALLACE.com. There's a great past life regression on there that will give people so much freedom and understanding about why people die, mm-hmm. and why they leave them earlier than they think they should. Right. You know, just a lot of my call-in show Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It's all a free call-in show. People can call in. You know, or listen to the archives. My God, you'll get so much from the archives. But bottom line, we've got to know we create our own lives. We're on this plane, we're the gods of us. We have to think and perceive the way that empowers us to create what we want. And if you're not willing to accept that responsibility, not much in your life changes.
Excellent advice.
I've always kind of believed that if you're not happy with yourself, you can't make somebody else happy.
Yep.
Yeah. It starts with you.
Yep, and exactly. And you know what? Nobody else is going to make you happy either.
Yep.
Because your perspective of life as shit or victim,
right.
Or I'm a loser or I'm not good at... Nobody is going to change that feeling for you but you. And once you accept and love yourself, then the entire world shifts around you. That's all I can tell you. And you're able to see it then. When people say, oh, God, you're amazing, you can go, yes, I am. And that's why I've created my little bear, you know, Bapalapalu, because our brains, as far as how we see ourselves in the world and how we're valued, our brains are pretty done by 4 or 5 years old. Mm. And this bear is designed to teach children to know their magnificence at a very early age.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
You can find him on my website or Amazon.
Can listeners find you anywhere else? Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
I'm everywhere. Yes, Facebook and Twitter. And
what's your Twitter handle?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I think it's D underscore Wallace.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on, Dee.
That was great.
So thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time, Dee. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, guys.
They're so cute, you guys. They're terribly cute.
Our moms are listening.
Yes. All right. That's been an awesome interview with Dee Wallace, Kyle, and Kevin here. Thank you very much for listening to Fandom Podcast Network live here at the LashCon Events Highlander 30th Anniversary Convention.
Absolutely.
I think it's time we blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.